Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, February 19th. I wanted to say that February is, it's supposed to be a very wet month for LA.
Really?
Southern California.
It's barely rained.
Not this year. Mm. So they're talking about the drought returning to California. And if you remember, well, you weren't here last year.
No.
Last year was actually a pretty wet winter, which was unusual.
Yeah, I heard that it rained a lot.
Yeah, it did. And suddenly it's back to no rain at all, the same every day, you know.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a disappointment, but some people just won't give up on this sunny, beautiful weather. So
I know, look
there
at
you
it.
Go, right?
It's not a cloud in the sky.
Not a cloud in the sky, folks. No rain in the forecast, and we just continue to bitch about the sunny weather.
What a horrible thing.
Right?
Chelsea Handler made a comment, and she said, you know, I love L.A., but sometimes that sun just gets on my nerves.
Yeah, right?
You know, and I get it. Sometimes you're like, all right,
yeah,
it's sunny
I know.
And in my face. I get it. I get it. I need sunglasses. Yeah.
I know, but people laugh at us for saying those things because obviously people would love to have that this kind of weather, you know?
Absolutely.
But, you know, you get tired of everything after a while, I guess.
It's true. I think it's just good to have a nice change up in life every day.
Yeah, it is. You know? I mean, we want some seasons here.
I don't know about that, but maybe a little more than we
Yeah, have. Well, yeah, because you've had snow all your life, you know? Yeah.
Well, so I'll tell you, though, the East Coast is disappointing because you get a lot of cold and not a lot of snow. You don't get as much snow as you think.
Really?
Yeah, if you have one snowstorm in the winter, that's great.
Really?
Yeah.
Like in New York and stuff?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you'll get, like, flurries, maybe a dusting. No.
Only when the storms or something, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's quite magical when it snows, and it's amazing. I love, like, there's nothing, like, I don't know if you've ever been where there's, like, fresh snow falling, but there's, like, a silence in the air.
I know.
There's nothing like it, you know? It's like the ultimate quiet. Yeah.
I know.
I love it.
And then those flakes just kind of come down.
Yeah, and the sky's lit. Like, even though it's, like, midnight or something, you go outside and everything's kind of like this bluish purple color, and
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been in many places where I actually saw it snow.
Right.
But I went to Mammoth Lake a couple of years ago, and it was actually snowing. So I'm like, wow, this is like a big deal for me.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I have friends who have never seen snow that are from here.
Really?
Which is so wild to me. I know. I'm like, what?
Well, I barely saw snow, you know?
Yeah.
I never really get the... I mean, I've seen snow after it has fallen.
Sure. There's nothing like while it's... Like, when you have a 4-foot snowstorm coming, I remember we had a few years ago, I remember being in New York, and we had... it was over the course of, like, a week or so. We had 3 feet and then, like, 2 feet or something like that. We ended up having, like... It ended up being, like, 4-ish. I remember stepping in the snow, and it was, like, above my waist, for sure.
Really?
After... Yeah, and the... drift piles, because like sometimes with the wind you get drift piles, so sometimes you'll walk and you won't realize there's a dip, but suddenly you sink and you're like up to your chin in snow. Totally. And then when the plows come by in New York, it's quite gross to have snow because it just gets really disgusting.
It's dirty,
yeah, with all the street and everything like that. But after plowing, you'll have these giant mountains of snow, like taller than you,
right?
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, on the side of the street.
Totally. But when you have those deep, deep snowfalls, and there's 2-3 feet on the ground already, and then the snow's falling, and you just you look out and you see like no footprints anywhere. It hasn't been touched.
Yeah,
it's such a sacred moment, you know?
Cool, right?
Yeah, really cool. And then someone like walks across the lawn. You're like, damn it, you ruined the whole street. It was perfect.
Yeah. Did you ever snow ski?
No, I've never skied.
Yeah, I know. I would like to check it out. Huh?
Same. It's a little scary, but...
I know. But yeah, it looks like fun, you know. And besides, they teach you first, you know, so you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Or they, you think you know what
you
you're
think
doing.
You know, yeah. I feel like everyone I know who's gone skiing has been like, yeah, and then that's how I screwed up my rotator cuff. Like everyone, it's always a rotator cuff. Yeah, for sure.
What's that? Like where your
ankle
is? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was on the legs or something.
No, that's like a hammy or Achilles tendon.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's because when you start to fall, you go to stop yourself.
Right.
And most people don't warm up before they do activities like that. I feel like it wouldn't be as bad if you like warmed up, did some band work, some PT on your shoulders and joints before you do stuff like that.
That's true.
Yeah. It would definitely make a big difference.
Yeah. All right. Well, people should just move here then and not deal with it. Yeah.
Don't move here. We have enough cars on the 101 and exactly. The 405.
Don't come out here anymore.
Yeah.
We've got plenty.
I'm the last transplant allowed.
Yeah, exactly.
After me, no one else is allowed.
But there are a lot of people moving out of California, so we're making room for some more.
Yeah, I know, hopefully.
Every day people come here. I mean, you know, my brother who lives in China, I told you, he's here now. They can't go back.
Sure.
So they're trying to figure out where to live and stuff, which is pretty sad. You know, I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
You go out. They didn't even plan to come here. They were in Cambodia when my mom died. So we had them come here, and then they couldn't go back. And so it kind of sucks. I mean, you can't go back home, you know?
Right. Any of your stuff, like...
Yeah, but it's just stuff, you know? I mean, I was thinking of other things, but they don't really have anything that you really have to go back to when you think about it, you know?
Yeah.
It's all things, you know?
It's true. I would just be worried if there were, like, old family photos or, like, family heirlooms, that kind of thing. Those are the little things.
That we had fights about because he wanted them so bad.
Now they're trapped in China.
That's true.
You're like, I told you that I should have had these photos.
Exactly. Or just keep them here, you know?
Yeah, scan them.
Yeah, I mean, they were here at my mom's house. What's the matter with that? You know, just
I know.
Leave them here.
I know with siblings, it's kind of like a claim territory thing. Like, I know with my siblings, they're all about selling everything. They just want to sell everything. First, they want to pick through and get everything that they want. And then they're like, okay, we're going to sell everything else, but I saved you this bowl and I saved you like this like crappy picture frame. I thought you might like it. But meanwhile, everyone else had their like pick of everything. And the only thing I ever wanted were the records.
Right.
That was it. I wanted my aunt's records and I wanted my dad's records. And so when my aunt died, we ended up having this huge garage sale because my aunt was a hoarder, like an episode of Hoarder's Hoarder.
Wow.
She had a 3-bedroom condo in Studio City. She was one of those really, really intelligent people, like graduated from Brown, top 1% of her class, like super, super smart lady. But she had this like weird hoarding thing and she lived here alone. She worked for the government, no kids, nothing. So all of her money was for her. And so my brother and I and my dad came out here maybe like 10 years ago and we had to clean out her house. And there was one walkway going through the entire house, one slim little walkway. And it was floor to ceiling boxes.
Wow.
Like there were like FedEx.
And she lived like that?
She lived like that.
Wow.
And there was like a rat living in there, like crazy stuff. But she wouldn't buy one teapot. She would buy like 5 teapots. So there were like shelves of just inventory in her house, you know? And so the one thing I really wanted was a few of her pieces of china and records. And my siblings are just like, there's no value in records. We're selling them. And I'm like, I don't understand what the problem is. You're only going to get like $1 per record.
Right.
Just let me have them, you know? So everyone's like, okay, okay. And every meeting we had about it, I was like, records, I want the records, records. I just want to make sure everyone's on the same page. I want the records. And then it's the day of the garage sale and I turn around and someone's flipping through the records and
I
walked over and I was like, these are not for sale. Took them away, put them right in the house.
Oh God, that sucks, you know?
Yeah, man. So there's always that battle for like who gets the photos and like who gets this, who gets that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, luckily with my parents, we don't have that kind of thing, you know. So
yeah, that's good.
I mean, yeah, we're not fighting over who takes what.
And, you're also boys.
And, yeah, I guess, you know.
You know, I feel like the girls and we're like,
there's
I want that
dish. There's all kinds of chashkas and stuff, you know, in the house. But
yeah,
yeah, what are we gonna do with those?
Yeah, I find China guys don't usually care about me. That. Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, we got to, I guess I'll just preserve these things, you know, I mean,
yeah,
why not? You know, they remind me of my parents and stuff.
Sure.
So I'll just keep them there with all my modern furniture and we'll keep all these.
Nice mix up.
Yeah.
I love the photos, though. There's nothing like those photos taken in the 60s and 70s.
Right.
You know, it's that different texture. It's with matte finish. And
right.
Yeah, I love it.
I know. I like pulling them out and looking through them and how young everybody was. You know,
yeah.
And many people were still alive, you know, or not.
So many people still alive. Because I came 10 years later, most of my family had already passed by the time I was born. Yeah. So yeah, everyone's like, do you remember this aunt and uncle? I'm like, nope.
No.
Like, do you remember this one? I'm like, nope.
I know. I think when you're like 3 or 4, you don't really remember much, you know. I don't know that my nephew, who's 5, he's turning 5. He probably won't remember my parents very well. Maybe my mom a little bit because she lived a little longer.
Sure.
But I'm sure my daddy's not going to remember him. And even though they interacted quite a bit, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of sad and stuff. But that's the way of life, you know. What are you going to do?
Right. They'll just remember them in like, you know, maybe like a smell or like a cookie she made or something like that.
Right.
I find usually it's that the sensor memory.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
that
yeah.
helps people remember that kind of thing.
Yeah. I remember my grandmother on my mom's side, she died very young. And so I think I was 4 or 5. And I just have this single image of her, you know.
Exactly.
That's about it. And then pictures, of course. You
totally.
Know? But yeah, that's weird. So, and then people die and then people start sharing stories and you learn things you didn't know before.
Yeah.
And you go, wow, you know.
I know all the
kind
stories.
What kind of childhood they had. And
right, or like weird excursions they went on, like weird trip that they had that like went awry.
I know.
You know, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and both my parents immigrated to Israel when they were young, so there's good stories there, you know, some amazing
stories. Where did they immigrate
stories.
From?
My dad was born in Greece, and he was only a year old when they moved, so he doesn't remember any of it, obviously. But my mom was 14, and she was born in Iraq, and they smuggled them out of there. So they had to leave all their wealth, their houses, their property, everything, and they just, you know, because it started getting very dangerous for Jews there, you
sure.
know. So they came and smuggled people out of there. So those are some interesting stories, you know. And then Israel hadn't been. Declared as an independent country yet, so it was sort of like, you know, living in limbo.
Sure.
But some interesting stories, you know. I mean, a lot of history there.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, though. That's an awesome story, though.
I know. And then you think about these people that came from poverty and hardly anything, and then have been through all these, like, decades of progress and
sure.
And they see total changes, you know. I mean, from the point of you had to go and get your own milk or something, you know, milk the cows or something.
Yeah.
To the point where, you know, you have like iPhones and shit like that. You
yeah,
know?
You can order it on Amazon Fresh and it'll be delivered in 2 to 4 hours.
Yeah. Although they did used to deliver milk when I was a kid.
Right, a milkman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's so crazy.
It is.
My
right?
mom said in Cleveland they used to, the milkman would sometimes deliver ice cream and stuff, which I thought was really cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. They would deliver, we would get hot rolls in the morning too, like buns and stuff. You
really?
Know? Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I know. They don't do that anymore, but they used to. So, yeah, but I'm thinking so many, they've gone through so many generations and have seen the world change so much.
So much.
That it's amazing, you know?
Sure.
I wonder if we're going to see, I mean, we're still seeing a change a lot because it's moving so fast now, you know?
I mean, I even see a huge change. I feel like that's how the past 100 years have been. It's like once they get over a hump, then everything just skyrockets. Like as soon as cell phones came out, look at the evolution of cell phones over the past 15 years.
Right,
you know, when I was in high school, I had a little Kyocera brick and it was like you had to press like the A twice to hit
the text
B or something. Yeah. And now we have like iPhone and Razer just came out with a flip phone.
Right.
Yeah. It's like this full screen that bends in half and closes.
That's Samsung.
Really? I thought it was Razer, Motorola.
Well, I think they came out with something too, but really I think the one that's getting more attention is the Samsung one that looks like an iPhone, but it bends in the middle.
Oh, you know? I didn't know they made one as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, a little competition.
I know the Razer you're talking about probably kind of can remind you of the original one, right?
It looks just like it.
Oh,
yeah.
It does?
Once it flips closed, it looks just like a Razer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they kept the same like body style and everything.
Yeah.
Like back to the flip phone.
Yeah, I guess they're going back to foldable phones.
Right.
I remember the Razer was the hottest thing, remember?
I do.
After all the bulky phones that came out.
Oh, my God.
The
Razer was a big deal.
I know.
Big deal. And then
I remember everybody wanted the
Sidekick. Do you remember the Sidekick?
Yeah, yeah.
Came out around the same time as BlackBerry. I loved my BlackBerry, though. The way the keys clicked. I would just turn the phone off and like run my fingers over the keys and just listen to the make the clicky sound. I'm like, yes.
Wow.
So good. Yeah. Like I still have it at my mom's house somewhere.
Really?
Yeah, in a
box. I didn't have a BlackBerry because I didn't find a need for it back then, you know?
But, yeah.
But you probably did.
Yeah, I did. I was like, I need this. It's important.
We need it. Right?
Yeah. I was sad, though, when BlackBerries kind of went away and iPhone took over.
Really?
Yeah, I really loved. I love my iPhone, don't get me wrong, but I loved my BlackBerry.
I know a lot of people swore by it.
Yeah. I have a friend who still has a BlackBerry.
Really?
Yeah. He has like 4 cell phones, though. I'm like, are you a drug dealer or something?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, no. Phone numbers. I don't know why you need so many.
Yeah, I know.
I can hardly keep up with one phone.
I remember I was, this was 1990, 91. I had a business, but I wasn't in the office all the time. So for me, a cell phone was like the biggest deal ever, you know?
Sure.
And I had one that was, it was a Motorola, but before the Razer.
Mm.
They were bulky, you know?
Sure.
They were still flip phones, but they were not the Razer. They were not thin. So I was an early cell phone user, you might say. God, it was expensive back then, you know, the service too and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
You
know? I know.
But
cell phones were cheaper, though.
I know.
They were much cheaper. It was like $100 to buy a phone, and it was like, whoa, I just spent $100 on a phone.
Right, I know. But the service was expensive.
Yeah, very.
And I remember, though, it was so weird to walk in the mall and talk on the phone while I'm walking. It was like the weirdest thing ever, you know?
Yeah. It couldn't be more normal now.
Right, you know?
It's so weird. I remember when Bluetooth came out. It used to kind of freak me out because you just see people talking to themselves.
Right.
And then you see the little blue light and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Like those, what they call them, Jawbone or something? Or
something like that. It's like the little earpiece.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what they call
it. People just going on and on and on in their conversation.
I know.
I'm like, what's going on over there?
Well, today it's happening again, you know, with the AirPods. The Apple ones, you don't have wires or anything. So people often come to me all the time, start talking to me while I'm on the phone, you know?
Right.
Because you can't tell.
Totally. I know. I know. My mom absolutely hates headphones of any kind.
Uh-huh.
She thinks they're the worst because she'll start saying something and I can't hear it. Or she works in a hospital. She works in like a children's psych unit. And sometimes the kids will have like a little like headset on or something and they can't. She's sitting there talking and talking and talking to them and they hear nothing. And she's like, God damn it. These stupid earbuds. Or she calls them earpods.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, earpods.
Parents are good with that
pretty
stuff.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah. I remember she called Facebook Face Space for the longest time. It was a combo of MySpace and Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm on that Face Space. or for FaceTime. She says the face thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we had some guests here on another show the other day, and they were older people.
Yeah.
I'm like, share your video on Facebook. They're like, I don't have Facebook. Mm. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. What's that like?
You know? I know. One less thing to check up on.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of nice. I took the app. I haven't had the Facebook app on my phone in a couple of years.
Really?
Because I felt like I was just automatically
going
opening
there, right?
My phone when I had nothing to do. I'm like, I have no reason to open this right now. So I took the app away, so I have to go into my browser to check it. So now I check it like once a week.
Really?
Yeah.
Facebook?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, you're probably on Instagram then, right?
I am on Instagram.
Yeah.
That I'm on daily.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. People have to have something.
Something, yeah. Honestly, if I'm stressed out, it's a great thing to just like scroll through and look at to just completely flatline my brain for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay. It's like a little recharge mode. That's probably true. Better ways to do that, but.
Yeah, I know. I always go automatically to Facebook. I'm like, why am I doing this? You know, it's not even important.
Right. Just reading somebody's stupid status.
Right.
They're just like talking about Trump or talking about what kind of cereal they just had or whatever it might be.
The stupidest things. You
know? I know.
I mean, like, okay, good night. I'm out of here. I'm like, what the
You're
fuck?
You're like, okay,
man?
Bye.
Yeah, bye. You know? Goodbye.
No one needs to know. Talk when you have something important to say.
Exactly.
Or a joke.
You know? Yeah.
Or something.
Oh, suddenly everybody's the friend of that therapist that got killed. I told you yesterday, remember?
Mm, yeah.
That young woman that was Drew Carey's fiance, I think. But so like everybody's like, oh, my friend and my friend this, my friend that. I'm like, you don't fucking know her, you know?
Right. And the woman's not alive to be like, I wasn't your friend.
Right. Exactly. You know? People, like, they probably just rubbed elbows with her, and she's their friend.
Yeah, they love to.
They do that all the time.
Yeah,
you know?
People love to do that when people die, is right. Just act like they were absolute best friends.
Right, or pull out pictures that they took with a celebrity
a
million years ago.
Yeah.
They don't even know him.
Oh, my God, totally. And they're just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, people care too much.
People have become very narcissistic, and the funny thing is we've all become like that, and we just accept it now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All this self-promotion and everything that is, like, ridiculous.
I know. It's ridiculous, but at the same time, we're caught in it because someone in my industry is an actor. I've gotten turned down for jobs because I don't have over 5,000 followers.
Wow.
So they put this weird stipulation on getting gigs now or... You know, if you have a business, you have this whole platform to promote it. So people are promoting it. And when those people are successful, other people see, oh, my gosh, this person was successful. Like,
right.
You know, I'm a personal trainer. I'm an actor. I'm an artist. Or I make holistic bags with like lavender and candles that I'll send to your house once a month for a fee.
Uh-huh.
You know, so people are just promoting to help their businesses and stuff and to help, you know. I mean, it's like we talked about the other day. There's 10-year-olds doing toy reviews, making millions of dollars at 10 years old, you know? And then so I think people are kind of just trying to jump on the bandwagon and really make that happen. And it's you get caught in this catch because there is a platform for it. I think people often half-ass that or overdo it. And I also think some people are like not mindful of their content.
Yeah.
And they're just posting like a shitty paper plate with like beans on it or something. And they're like, home cooked meal. I'm like, no one cares about your like bean platter. You know what I mean? Like, it's the worst to me. Someone goes to like a family cookout and that stuff's probably really delicious in person, but it's on one of those like shitty thin pizza plate. Like, you know, when you get a slice of pizza, they put it on that thin pizza plate.
Uh-huh.
And they'll just pile it up with like beans and like a piece of white bread. I'm just like, what is that? Like, why? That's not what you post to get.
Right. Why is it here?
Right.
Yeah. But people have this urgent need to express themselves, I guess. You know?
Yeah. They call us the documentation generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people don't even think about their kids whom they're documenting from the moment they're born, you know?
I know.
It's like the kid's going to grow up and I don't want this in public, you know? I don't want that in public or whatever. I want to stay a... kind of a private person.
Sure.
And it doesn't happen because they had parents who have to show everything to the world.
Totally. But you know what's really amazing? you know, when I worked in restaurants, people would bring their kids with them, like, you know, 1-2 year olds. And like 1 year olds are sitting there on an iPad playing like games, like fully functioning with their, like moving their fingers around, like they have complete motor skills already.
Yeah.
And it's kind of mind blowing, but at the same time, it's hard to tell if it's toxic or not, because, you know, motor functions are a huge part of your brain capacity, you right. know? So when yeah. you're developing those at such a young age, like how far, like that's got to be like evolution happening right there.
That's true.
You know, yeah, on yeah. some level.
Right.
So where are people going to be? Like, what is this generation of children going to be able to do?
Right.
Which is kind of interesting.
They already do more than we can, you know?
Yeah, I mean, know.
My son goes through his phone so fast, it's like, by the time I press a button, he already has the answer.
Totally. I mean, I can text on my phone without even looking.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. It's like quite an accomplishment. But at the same time, like my age group is a little different. You know, I'd say like 28 to 35 is a little different because, you know, I still grew up with landlines. I grew up with cassettes. Right. I grew up with like VHS and then DVDs. Like I was there to see cell phones come out, you know? So I feel like part of me is with this present future mindset, and part of me is like still stuck in the like, can we just go outside and play?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think
that's what I mean about people going through all these yeah. generations, and they see all these different things, you know?
Yeah.
This like progress. It's right. like unbelievable. I totally get it.
Totally.
Yeah.
I know. I miss the days of just going out to play or like riding your bike around the neighborhood and it's dinner time and the sun's going down and you're like with your best friends. And
yeah.
You can just smell everyone's dinner in the neighborhood and you know, like,
yeah.
it's time to go home, you know?
I know. But, you know, my nephew from China, the other day we were sitting having dinner and he's just sitting there drawing and stuff and we're like, look what they do when you don't give them the phone, you know? They do other things.
Yeah.
But we always throw the phone at them like a babysitter or something.
Totally. It's like to keep them occupied and quiet.
Right. We used to do that with TV with the kids, you know?
I know. People don't want to be bothered.
No.
We just don't. We don't want to be bothered. And I feel like...
Well, you know, when you're with the kid 24 hours, it's like you want to break.
Yeah,
know?
Totally. I babysat growing up. So I was yeah. like...
Plus, the kids see what we do, you know, and they model what we do, and we are on the phones all the time.
Totally.
So they are, too.
There was a meme about it, and there was a woman reading a book on the train, and her daughter was next to her reading a book on the train.
Yeah.
And the memes had something like, someone asked me, how did I get my daughter to read? And I just told her that I lead by example. They imitate what we do.
Right.
You know, so I think it's important to know what's going on with technology and with phones, but I think it's also equally as important to be able to put your phone down and not look at it for a certain amount of time per day.
Right.
You know, I think it's really important to have that unplug because, I mean, let's face it, like my whole schedule, all of my notes, like everything I need to know on a daily basis is in my phone.
Right.
You know, like in my bag here, I have like a whole notebook and I still take my notes at work with my boss, like on paper, because it's more comfortable to me, but I still right. have a lot of them in my phone.
Yeah.
So I need it. I need it. And all my emails come
in. We need our iPhones, goddammit.
I know.
And everybody's got an iPhone, too, you know? It's like everybody that comes from overseas, they have Androids.
Yeah.
And it's only here that we have to have our iPhones.
Yeah, we need it.
We need it.
It's for us.
Yeah, because we're brainwashed by Apple completely.
They really, like, I'm like, I know you guys could do less updates and like not spread it out so much.
Right.
You know, like we don't need a new iPhone every year.
Right.
Like you could just do like a new one every like 2 to 3 years and just pack all of that great technology into one.
And especially when they don't. I mean, you know, all the new ones that come out, there's nothing really revolutionary about them anymore. I'm like,
it's the cameras.
There's no reason. Yeah, but there's no reason to upgrade and buy a phone for $1,200 just if the camera's a little better or something, you know?
I know, but it seems like a payoff to people because of social media, because people are taking so many photos. It's saving them costs on, like, having photo shoots or having professional photos, because the better the camera is on the iPhone,
right.
the more they can save on having to, like, schedule a photo shoot or get a better quality.
Yeah, I challenge you to tell the difference between iPhone 11 and iPhone 10 as far as the pictures, you know?
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, I don't know. I still have a 6.
And people still still upload like shitty quality pictures, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, most pictures are shitty quality.
Yeah.
I don't know how people can fuck them up, you know?
I know.
So much. But the quality, I mean, I'm not even talking about the subject in it. Just the quality of it, grainy and things like that. You know, it's like, well, don't you know how to take a picture? I mean, it's the easiest thing with a phone to just take a picture.
Right. You like press the thing, you get it all set up, get the lighting set, lock lighting.
And then people put a million filters on them and everything.
And then it's blurry and anyway, you know.
So, yeah, this whole technology, man, this social media has definitely transformed us. Completely, you know.
I know. Where's it going to go from here?
I don't know.
I have my best friend has marketing company, and one of his clients, she works with schools and stuff overseas and here, and they're opening all these schools to just give kids like better educations when they don't have the opportunity to. And they were saying that in schools, a lot of kids have actually been saying that they don't want to use the technology, that they feel overwhelmed by the technology. And I thought that was really cool to hear.
Yeah.
I was like, huh, good to know.
I know, because, I mean, today, think about it. In the classroom, if you have a phone, it's like all the rules have changed, you know?
Yeah.
Because you can cheat, you can talk to people, communicate with them during class. I mean, yeah. we used to have to pass
notes. Oh, I loved passing notes. It was the worst, though, when the teacher... Right. It was a rush to get it when the teacher wasn't looking, being like, shoop, you know? It was the worst when it was intercepted by someone else, and then they read it. I was like, no.
Right. I know. Well, I guess we do need to communicate. I don't know.
I guess.
So, Steven Spielberg's daughter, I mean, this is pretty big, launches an adult entertainment career, meaning porn. So his daughter is getting into porn.
As a director or
an actor? No, an actress. She wants to be a sex worker. And she does a self-producing adult film videos.
How old is she? 23. Wow. I want to know what he has to say about that.
Well, she says they're supportive, he and his wife. So I don't know, man. But and, you know, many of their kids are adopted, too. So not that it makes any difference in this case, but God, what do you do? I mean, did you ever think about this? If your kid decides to get into porn, I mean, how can you support them? I don't know. You really have to be like an understanding, open-minded parent.
Really,
you know?
Open-minded. I think some people are there, some people aren't. Yeah. And that's okay, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I
know, I don't know, but the desire of some people to actually do this, you know, it's not like they do it for the money or anything.
Yeah, but some people just love it.
Yeah, but usually they're like fucked up in a way, you know. I mean, she says that she's had like mental issues and things like that. And, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, we have porn stars come in here occasionally or at least once a week for this porn show here. And from what I hear, they're all on drugs or, you know, like heavy drugs too.
Yeah.
So it's like because I think a normal person can't really deal with these things, you know?
I mean, I think everybody,
you know? And
I think any industry, I mean, it comes in the entertainment industry. I know guys in the stock market in New York, they're all on drugs. They all have mental issues. Like, you know, like the only... I mean, I have friends who are doctors who party on the weekend who have suffered depression or whatever it might be. I mean, I don't think that mental illness really like caters to one.
No, I don't think mental illness, but I'm talking about people, girls that are into porn.
And it's getting into porn. Do you think it's the same standard for them?
No, because guys are just props in porn. They're not really important.
Mm.
Yeah. Because
I mean, there's all kinds of porn. You're thinking of just regular, basic, like man-woman porn. But there's such a wide range.
Well, obviously in gay porn, the guys are important.
Yeah, but there's also like porn where it's male-dominated as well. Like, you know, it could be. Traditionally, it is usually the woman being done too, but there's a lot of categories on that.
No, of course. I'm not saying that. But again, I'm saying that the majority of the of the audience for porn is obviously men, you know.
Sure, yeah,
so,
I'll agree to that.
And men don't want to see other men, you know. So it's just like they want to see maybe the dick or something. So just in relation to the yeah. woman.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, so I don't think it's as tough for the guys, although it might be too. I don't know.
Yeah, you I know? Mean, I think there's so many factors there. I mean, I've known, you know, coming from working in strip clubs as a bartender, like I've definitely met my fair share of people in the industry. And I don't know. I've met some people that were really on their shit. They're like, this is just what I do. I make money. I go to work. I go home, leave, and I go home and make meatloaf for my kid, you know, right. like, and some people like, yeah, they're definitely on a rocky road.
Yeah.
I think it's really, I think it's an easy industry to get wrapped up in. I know there's a lot of like partying involved. It's like, it's different. It's different.
Yeah. Plus they really love money. Not that most people don't, but they'll, you know, I found that they'll give up just about anything to go and do a scene or something because they do get a couple grand, you know.
But, yeah.
But,
yeah, for some people, yeah. it's worth the money. I mean, we all have a price. Just some people have a price that no one would pay.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. But, you know, what can you do? You know, sometimes they flake out on showing up here. Sometimes they're late. And I don't know why it is. As a group, they're like that, you know. And you wonder, maybe they don't have enough respect for other people. Maybe they don't respect themselves. I don't know. But, I mean, I'm talking to the guy who runs the show, and he's been in the industry forever as a publicist and sure. all that kind of thing. And he agrees with me on certain things, you know. So he gets pissed when they don't show up and stuff.
Sure,
you know?
Of course.
And what can he do, you know.
I mean, it's just shitty to not yeah. come through when people think you're going to come through.
Right. So yeah, she battled for years mental issues and alcoholism. So yeah, but more power to her if it empowers her to show her little her genitals or whatever you want to yeah. call it, coochie coochie.
Definitely coochie coochie. It's like, you do you, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
What blows my mind, though, is you said it's Spielberg's daughter.
Yeah.
I would just be, if Spielberg was my dad, I would just be so on his case all the time and just put me in, like, movies.
Right.
Regular non-adult movies.
Yeah, please.
It'd be, like, so much more money involved there, too, you know, in a Spielberg movie.
I wonder if none of his kids actually does that. They don't ask him. I mean, I don't see any of his kids being actors or anything.
I feel like if Spielberg was my dad, I would have come out of the womb like, I'm ready. I'm ready. Just so there for it.
I know, man.
When I went to the night before party, we were checking in at the door. And the guy on his headset goes, Spielberg's here. And then he was like, do you have your ID? And I was like, I tapped my friend and I was like, Spielberg's here. So
well, did you see him?
I didn't see him.
Okay.
I know.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
Did you hear about, what's his name, Pop Smoke? He's this artist who...
Oh, yeah, I just saw that. He's a rapper or something?
Yeah, he lives in the Hollywood Hills and he had two guys in masks, had a home invasion. They just invaded his home and... killed him in his house.
Bet you it's not random, you know? I mean, how is it that these guys always, you know? I mean, who was the other guy that was recently killed also?
The really tall, thin one?
I don't remember. What was his name?
It was a couple months ago, I think.
Yeah. He's got this kind of unique name, but I don't remember. And I don't know how they end up being involved in these things. I mean, you know? I mean, do you think out of all the houses in the world, it would, you know, they would choose somebody who ends up being like pretty famous and stuff, you know?
Yeah, I think the lines can get really blurred. Nicki Minaj made a post on Twitter saying something about how it was like a jealousy thing, like these guys that invaded his home. Probably. Like maybe there was some kind of like altercation, and I think some people just can't let go of things. And
yeah, and so it was probably directed at him directly.
Sure,
you know?
I think.
It's not just random people.
I think, yeah.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah, I know. Can you imagine a home invasion? You're home alone, just relaxing, doing your thing in your like house that you've like accomplished your dreams in order to be able to pay for this house in the Hollywood Hills. And like two people at when you're 20 years old, two people just invade your house in masks, like shit you see on TV growing up, that you're just like laying in bed at night, you hear a creak downstairs, you're like, this is it, you know? This is the day. When I was a kid, I would hear weird sounds downstairs and I would play dead in my bed, like that actually would do anything.
Really?
I was like, I hear something. I was like, it's probably a robber, I'm gonna play dead. I'm like, they'll just be like, why is this kid sleeping weird in a weird position? It's so weird.
Yeah.
Something I found really funny on Reddit, actually. My best friend Sean like loves Reddit, so he just talks about Reddit so much. They have this section called Shower Thoughts. And it's funny that it came up because I talked to a couple people this week about shower thoughts before even knowing that this existed. And we were talking about how, like, you know, you could have an argument with someone or a conversation, or you know, you say something stupid or just like a conversation and you're in the shower later, like shampooing your hair, like, man, I should have said that, or I should have said that, or why didn't I say that?
That's
or
true,
I didn't
right?
think of that, you know? So yeah, this, I mean, a couple of them are really funny. This one's by a person, their name on it is Tylenol Muncher, which is kind of funny. It says, erasers slowly sacrifice their lives for art mistakes. This other one says, when you accidentally drank ocean water, there's also a slight chance that you've drank part of someone's ashes released in the sea.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I've definitely thought that before.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. This one's good by a useless harpsichore. I don't know why my brain could not make out that word. It says, we use video games to escape the tedious tasks of life by making fictional tedious tasks. I'm like, that is so true.
Yeah.
It's the truest.
That's
yeah.
true. I do think a lot in the shower, you know, because maybe it's one of those things, we're not on the phone, so we're actually free to think, you know?
Sure. Totally. Definitely.
Yeah. Also, when you go to sleep, I know I think a lot, you know, before I fall asleep. And
plus,
stuff.
It's a little like a deprivation tank. You have the water running. You can't really hear too much. You're in like a little like cubicle kind of.
Yeah.
You know, so
and
I think
it's nice and warm in there. You don't want to leave.
I know. Man, the East. That's another East Coast thing. Like you have to be up at 5 a.m. It's the dead of winter and you are too lazy to shower the night before. So you have to shower in the morning and you're just in the shower like your eyes are like half closed and you're just like curled under the water, freezing your ass off. I don't miss that. I don't.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty cold in the morning. But I can't leave the house without a shower. You know, I can't even wake up without a shower, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I feel I'm still half asleep until I take a shower.
I know. Growing up, I was always a shower at night person, and now I'm a shower in the day person.
Because when you're kids, your parents make you take a shower at night because you're so fucking dirty from the day. You know?
Totally, and they know it's going to be a pain in the ass getting you up in the shower in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, is true. This Saturday, I'm going to throw a party, a barbecue party
really?
At my house for the family.
Amazing.
Yeah. And because, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
Because we have guests and stuff. It's also my nephew's birthday, so.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some 20, 25 people there, which should be nice.
That's exciting.
I'll be busy barbecuing and
nice.
Stuff. Yeah.
What are you going to barbecue?
Steaks and kebab and
kebabs
like
are
that.
Amazing. Yeah, they were always my fave.
I know. With us, it's not like hamburgers and hot dogs, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're Israeli. Yeah. It's got to be kebabs or something, you know? Something like that.
I know. And steak, you know, we love steak and stuff. Last night, we went to Tel Aviv Grill, which is, I told you, a good restaurant out here. So all of us went there and they have the best shawarma, I'm telling you.
Mm.
You wouldn't eat it now, but
no.
You know, it's the best.
I can respect it, though.
Yeah,
I respect a good shawarma.
You know, but we were talking about the plant-based hamburgers, and I was reading up on it, and they said it's highly processed, you know? I mean, it's got
some of them, absolutely.
Yeah, they got like chemicals and all kinds of shit in them, you know?
Totally. Some of them
definitely
do.
So you got to be careful.
I mean, that's with anything. They put so many chemicals and processed shit in regular meat, too.
Yeah.
As soon as it's ground up, you have no idea what's in there.
Right. But, you know, I mean, you want to think that the plant-based are healthier for you. You know?
Yeah, you want to do more of, like, the veggie patties for the healthy stuff. Like, yeah. Beyond an Impossible Burger, like, Impossible is so delicious, but it's packed with canola oil. Yeah. You know, people think just because it's vegan means it's healthy. Like, French fries are vegan. Chips are vegan.
Right.
Oreos are vegan. Oreos and pepperoni are tied for the number one most toxic foods you can put in your body.
Really?
Yeah. Oreos, wow. And pepperoni.
All right. Well, no pepperoni on my pizzas anymore.
No.
Although
I mean, it's delicious,
but... I don't eat that much pizza anymore, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
wow,
who,
I didn't realize that.
I think it's so weird when people eat pizza out here. I'm like, no.
Not
everyone's
the same.
Just getting like Domino's and like Little Caesars. I'm like, no.
There's some New York style somewhere, but
yeah, there's one
like
place, Joe's downtown, that's decent.
Yeah, you know, Italian places and stuff where it's more authentic, you know. But yeah, I mean, the Domino's of the world, forget about that, you know.
Disgusting. It's like plastic.
Yeah, I know.
It's literally plastic.
Yeah.
You could leave it for so long and nothing will happen to it.
Yeah, I know, right?
Ugh. They did that with McDonald's.
Really?
Yeah, they held it in an area for like 3 years and it didn't change.
Really?
Nothing happened to it.
Wow.
It didn't decompose. It's just that filled with chemicals.
Plastic.
Yeah, totally. Like when you go to the mall and you go to get Japanese food at the mall and they have that little window that has like the plastic sushi in it.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll have like the plastic tempura, the plastic ginger salad. It's like
right.
that.
Like that, right?
That's McDonald's.
It stays beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I haven't had McDonald's in a long time.
Yeah.
In a long time.
Oh, my gosh. It's been like...
years, huh?
At least 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not even one hamburger or fries
no.
or anything.
No. Well, their fries aren't even vegetarian.
Why? Oh, because they cook them in the oil with...
Well, they used to cook them in lard, and then McDonald's did this whole revamp probably about 15 years ago, and they were like, oh, we use vegetable oil now. Because a lot of the religions that don't eat meat... were kind of complaining, like, you know, we don't have an option, have some fries or something. And so they'd been eating fries, and then there was a whole lawsuit, so they switched everything to vegetable oil, and then they're like, now they're vegetarian, but they don't tell you that they season them in meat, dehydrated beef seasoning in the factory before they ship them out.
Oh, the French fries themselves.
Yeah.
Plus, they fry them with meat and stuff,
chicken nuggets,
and,
yeah.
And fish and all that, right?
That's most restaurants, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very infrequent that you'll have a... fryer just for fries.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Creepy stuff. I've definitely it gone is. To shady bars and ordered fries and it tasted like chicken fingers. Just like no.
I know, when you go to those comedy clubs, right?
Yes, definitely the right. comedy clubs. You hit the nail on the head, those shady bars.
They are shady bars. It's shady food too.
And they all smell the same.
Yeah.
They all smell the same. It's like a dusty shadow or something.
Yeah. Do you go to comedy clubs sometimes?
I haven't since I've been here, but I did when I was in New York. I used to do stand up a little bit. So.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So I would go and see some shows here and there. But
yeah.
I haven't been since I've been here.
There's pretty good places here, you know,
yeah.
but the people are not funny, you know.
I know.
Most comedians are not funny. I don't find them to be entertaining, you know.
Yeah.
Some are, you know, some. I mean, I definitely know a few that I would go to see every time.
Yeah.
But they're very few.
I couldn't get past the, because I considered kind of pursuing like, you know, because I have done comedy for a long time. So I was like, maybe I'll try stand-up, you know? And I just couldn't get past the open mics where it's like you and like 5 to 10 other dudes. And one guy gets up and just decides, like, makes an announcement that, like, tonight's going to be the night when everyone has to make a dick joke. And I'm just like, come on, dude.
Yeah, what is that?
You know, like, that's such a crutch is to just, like, make a joke about... like sex, or make a joke about poop, or make a joke about, you know, anything that's like so typical a joke, you know?
Yeah. Cheap
so,
shots.
Yeah, cheap shots, exactly. And I couldn't get past that, so.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. This sucks.
I can see you as a stand-up comic, though. I mean, you like to perform.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
The first, like,
were
time...
Were you funny?
I mean... I was so, the first couple times I was so nervous. I'm not really that nervous now as a person, I was like so nervous though that I'd get up there and totally forget everything that really? I had to say. Yeah, it was like full panic, yeah. Blackout. I was like,
but it's still commendable that you were able to do that in the first place. I mean, it sounds so intimidating, you know, to stand there alone in front of a crowd that's waiting for you to bomb. And,
yeah, definitely, you know, waiting for you to bomb, because it's a bunch of other comics waiting to go up and they're just right. like waiting to trash your material.
Yeah.
And then it always ended up being like dudes afterward trying to like ask me for my number.
Really?
Yeah. They're just like, so like, you're a funny chick. Like, we should hang out sometime. I'm like,
yeah.
No.
And then on the other hand, when you're not looking, they badmouth all the female comics.
Totally. There was that movie on Netflix called, I forget who hosted it though. It was called Women Aren't Funny. And a comedian who we would all know, I saw it so long ago, she went across country and just kind of talked to like famous comics everywhere and asked if women are funny. And more of the old school guys were like, no, women aren't funny.
Really?
And, yeah, totally.
Jeez. That's pretty sad.
I know. Like, they're funnier than your old rusty jokes.
Yeah, there's a lot of funny female comics. That
so many.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll... you see, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could. And I have comedy? No problem being in front of people, you know? I mean, I can play music, I can sing, I can, you know, even talk here on the radio.
Yeah.
But if I had to do stand-up and memorize all the shit and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Casey told me you sing.
Yeah?
He told me to ask you about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He said you sing.
I'll have to play your song next time.
That you sang in?
Yeah, I have it on YouTube.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's in Hebrew, but...
That's okay. That's okay. I've heard Hebrew songs before. I have a Hebrew album on my phone.
Really?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. No, I wrote the song when I was quite young, so...
I love that.
It's pretty cool. So, but we are out of time, so we'll do it next time.
All right, next time.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Thursday. Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.